Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. And this is a special day for us. And it's just wonderful to worship together. And so welcome to each of you. And if you're with us online, we're just glad you're here as well. Well, we started a series last week called Anchored. We talked last week about what it meant to be anchoring our lives in the truth of God's Word and allow that to guide and direct us. And boy, we sure needed that this week, didn't we? Amen. Well, I'm not unaware of what's been going on around in our country. I just want to encourage you as a church to just be lifting your hearts in prayers for our leaders. We're called to do that as a church and for our country. And just that wherever you go in conversation or online touching one another, that you would bring the love and hope and joy and peace of Jesus to that conversation, because our country really needs that right now. And next week we're going to be doing as we continue in our Anchored series, Anchored in Hope. And of course, our hope is in Jesus Christ. But I'm radically changing that message next week to reflect kind of what's been going on in our country, and then what's been going on in God's church, not only worldwide, but here, of why we can begin to be a people of hope and to touch our communities in powerful ways that Jesus just needs to be seen more now than ever. And I don't want the church to believe a false narrative that God is somehow not on the throne and not in control, because that's not true. And so we're going to find our anchor in the hope of Jesus next week, and I trust you come back for that. But this week is Anchored in Purpose, and what it means to find our lives and our purpose in the person of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was teaching a crowd one day, he said, "So, what would it profit, or what good would it be, what gain would it be for a man, woman, boy, child to gain the whole world?" I mean, every goal you set, every financial goal, every business goal, career goal, school goal, educational goal, what good would it be for a man, woman, boy, child if he gained everything in this world and that the world had to offer but would forfeit his own soul? That's a question Jesus asks us. It's a question he asked that crowd that day. That's a purpose-driven question. Like, what does it mean? All of us want to wake up in the morning and say, it matters that I'm awake. It matters that I'm doing this. It matters that I'm going here. And why does that matter? What does it mean for us to find purpose in life? So to help us talk about that today, we have a very special guest, as most of you know. His name is Daniel Gill, and so I want to invite Daniel Gill to our stage. Daniel is on the popular show American Ninja Warrior. He is a 6-time finalist. Woohoo! Not only a 6-time finalist, but he is season 12 reigning ninja champion. Wow. That's awesome. And you know, I was thinking, this been 12 seasons, 6 times in a row you made it to the final. I mean, one hand grip away, you're in the water, you're done. And so how much, that's got to be unusual in itself, just to hit the finals all the time. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, no, even just that alone, I think, is a testament to the favor of God coming on my life when I said, "Lord, if you're going to open the door for me to do this ninja thing, I'm going to use this platform to honor you, to encourage, to inspire, to uplift all those who watch the show." Yeah. And when we get in alignment with what God wants to do, his favor comes on it. And to consistently make it as far as I've gone, as every single year that I've competed, is just a testament to the goodness of God.
Yeah, that's awesome. And did we mention season 12 reigning champion? I mean, have you seen this show? How many of you have seen this show? Oh, a whole bunch of you. Man, it's a hard workout,
isn't
it? World's
toughest obstacle course.
It's tough. You know, I was telling Daniel backstage, I could see this becoming kind of an Olympic sport someday because of its tenacity in it. But, you know, people like the gymnastics and everything that's involved in it, but we always get mad at the judges because it's so subjective. Well, there's nothing subjective about that. You're either wet or you finish and hit the buzzer, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a time to it. I like that. Yep. He's the winner. And so who knows? You guys can lobby the Olympic Association for that too if you want. But so anyhow, let me tell you a little bit more about Daniel, and then we're going to get into asking him questions about his life. But Daniel is a native Houston Texan all of his life, first time in Minnesota right now. So let's, hey.
You guys come from a very beautiful state. It's cold.
It's cold.
It's cold. Made my first snow angel like 2 days ago. It was awesome, though. So my wife and I are loving our visit here.
He's starting to arrive. He's made a snow angel. All right. So God is good.
Check that off my bucket list.
Well, Daniel is a very unique character, and God's done some amazing things in life. But he also is a motivational speaker. He's here with us today. He's a worship leader, and he also has an associate's degree in applied ministry studies. Maybe the Lord was going to use him as a missionary, minister, or worship leader. He didn't know. He's also a classically trained musician, a vocalist, a dancer, which I think helps in his performance as well, on Ninja, a theater performer, and like everybody from Houston, Texas, an aspiring actor. But first and foremost, he's a professional ninja athlete, and we are so glad to have him here today. But this is weird because, so I didn't grow up with this kind of thing. I aspired to be all sorts of things, from a fireman to who knows what when I was a kid. But I was never sitting on my chair going, I want to be a ninja warrior. And even my kids, they were more teenage ninja mutant turtle warriors. And they did do all sorts of weird stuff to our house because of that. But so, where did the bug come from to pursue even going to try out?
And like for me, I mean, I grew up watching Ninja Turtles too, so shout out to that. but growing up, I came from a big family of five kids in my family, all homeschooled my entire life, so shout out to any homeschoolers here.
Yeah, we got that.
And so growing up, I was the monkey kid in my family. I climbed on everything, caused so much trouble, eventually found sports, loved sports, and found that as an outlet. Like for me, training is therapy. So nobody has to tell me to do it. I do it because I want to. I always wanted to be physically strong enough to accomplish any task or feat or challenge, right? Mm. And so growing up, though, I watched Ninja Warrior as a kid. Now, before they had American Ninja Warrior, I used to watch the Japanese Ninja Warrior because it originated in Japan. Wow. And it was just these guys jumping on obstacles, and me being the monkey boy that I was like, God, that looks so cool. That would be so awesome. And then kind of I got older, reality set in, and it was like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. You don't just go do a TV show. But it's interesting because as I got older, I received Christ at a young age, prayed salvation prayer. I said, Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I trust you with my heart. I want to go to heaven someday. But it wasn't until I got older where I came to a new decision, and I said, okay, God, I'm older now, like high school years. I know if I die, I'm going to heaven, but if I'm going to live the rest of my life, every single day of my life on this earth, something's got to change. So I'm not just going to give you my heart, Jesus. I'm going to give you my whole entire life, the good, the bad, the ugly, my hopes and my dreams, my doubts and my fears. I know I'm going to make mistakes, God, but I'm going to trust you every single day, every step of the way. And so then I truly, fully committed my entire life to Jesus and, you know, graduated high school, went to a ministry school, got to travel the world. And it was during that experience of going to all these different countries, I mean, Bulgaria, Rome, Italy, Japan, Malaysia, Honduras, and just seeing the hand of God move in ways that I had only ever read about in my Bible. I mean, signs, wonders, miracles, seeing lives touched, changed forever. Yeah. It ruined me for normal. Ruined me for normal. I said, God, you have everything in my life. I will go anywhere. I will do anything. At that point in my life, I was like 18 years old. I said, God, I've discovered that giving you my life doesn't mean I miss out on anything. Giving you my life, the good, bad, the ugly, means I have access to you, access to what you have, which you're creator of the universe. So you've got good plans, and you know, you have it all together. So while I was at my Bible school, searching for God, seeking after God, a friend of mine told me about a ninja gym. I was like, what do you mean,
ninja
gym?
You needed a job.
I needed a job. Yeah, yeah. And he was like, Daniel, I heard you need a job. And I was like, yes, I do. He's like, I work at a gym. And I was like, I don't lift weights. I do like calisthenics, body weight training. pull-ups, push-ups, running, climbing, jumping, all that stuff. Thanks, but no thanks. And he said, no, wait, it's a ninja gym. This was like 8-9 years ago, so there were very, very few of those. And I said, oh my gosh, like the show Ninja Warrior? And he said, yes, just like the show. He said, we're the only gym in Houston that trains people to compete on the show. Mm-hmm. And as I'm chasing after God, going to a Bible school, God opened a door for me to get into this Ninja Warrior world and start working at a ninja gym. And, you know, the rest, as they say, was history.
History. And easy history, too. I mean, I'm sure, you know, once you give your life to Jesus, it's an easy street, right? No obstacles. No,
not at all. I mean, growing up, I used to think, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I know God has a plan for my life. It's going to be smooth sailing. No, it's not. Not at all. Anyone who walks this earth knows that we make mistakes that affect our lives. Other people make mistakes that affect our lives. And sometimes we can't trace the problems or the issues back to anyone. But we know that the Bible says that there is an enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said he came to bring life and life abundantly. And Jesus said in this world, you will have troubles. You will have trials and tribulations, but to take heart because he's overcome the world. And we have the promises of God in the Bible that talk about, like Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. We know in 2 Corinthians that he says that any issue that we go through, the God of comfort comforts us so that we can comfort others with the same level of comfort that God has given us. Mm. And so, as I began my Ninja Warrior journey, I was so excited. I was like, God, I could do this TV show now. Like, I work at a gym, and I went to a Bible school, and I told you I would be a pastor, gladly. I told you I would be a worship leader full-time. I would even be a missionary overseas, because I discovered that walking with God is the most satisfying, the most gratifying, the most fulfilling life that there was walking with God, chasing after him. And so when he opened the door for me to start doing this ninja thing, I was like, oh, done deal. I'm already really good as an athlete. I'm really good. I wasn't a great athlete in other sports. But Ninja Warrior, this individualized sport, you versus the course, I was pretty good at that right off the bat. But people ask me all the time what the hardest obstacle was, and it was just getting on the stinking TV show. Just getting on the show, because tens of thousands of people audition every year, in case you didn't know. You fill out this application online, like 9 pages. You submit an audition video. So, hey, Ninja Warrior, here's who I am, where I'm from, what I do, how I train. Please pick me for your season. And not once, but 2 years in a row, I got rejected. As I'm chasing after the dream that I felt God put on my heart, I send in my video, get rejected 1 year, and I think, oh, that wasn't the plan. Okay, Lord, where's the silver lining? How can I take good out of this situation? Oh, I get a whole another year to train. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to prepare my body. And then I used that time also to think about my brand as a ninja athlete, because they give you these ninja nicknames. And I was like, I want to be known as something relating to God. Oh, kingdom. The kingdom ninja. Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, live righteously, and all these things, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, God will provide those. So during that year, I prepared my body even more, prepared my brand, tried out again, got rejected again. And I was like, God, what is this? What is going on? The only other way to get on was to wait in a line, a walk-on line at the competition site for a week. Week. I've stood in line for roller coasters. It was fun, even though it was horrible for like however long I stood in line. I've stood in line to buy something in line, Black Friday, and it's worth it. Standing in line for a week just for the attempt or the chance to get on this TV show with no guarantee was very difficult. By day 3, I was sunburned, dehydrated, and tired. I had friends and family say, Daniel, give up. Like, don't waste your time anymore. Try again next year or try something else. But I had this peace, and I was like, God, I'm gonna do what I can in the natural, and I'm gonna just put the results in your hand. And literally by a miracle, I should not have competed my first year that I actually did on season 7, the Houston qualifiers. I should not have competed. But the favor of God came upon my life. God made a way where there was no way. As I'm sitting in that line of like 50 people, one of the producers comes by and he starts picking people to be the test runners to run the course before all the official invited competitors. He saw me, liked my hair, liked my personality, called me out and said, hey, you, I like you. I want to see you run the course. And we read stories in the Bible about, like, you know, Joseph had favor with Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people like that where they weren't a godly person necessarily, but they chose a godly person, and God used them. So this guy just picks me, says I'm going to get a chance to run the course, and next thing I know, I'm standing there on the starting platform at the Houston qualifiers in season 7. And I'm standing, I'm like, Lord, this is my dream come true. I see all the lights shining in my face. I see cameras all around. I see a screaming audience of fans. All of a sudden, my heart starts pounding out of my chest. My legs start shaking. My arms start trembling. And I'm like, a million people are going to watch if I fall. The pressure got so real. Got so real. I mean, it's interesting. Like, you've heard the term, like, be careful what you pray for.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get it, and it's different than how you expected. But God uses it all for good. So I'm there shaking, trembling head to toe, and I pray, and I said, God, I need you. I need you now like never before. This was the dream, but now I'm panicking. I want to do my best. I want to represent you well in this area that you've put me on, this platform. But help. Help me. I know I'm physically capable, but I don't know if I can do this. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, your will be done. If I hit a buzzer, I'm going to give you all the glory, all the credit, all the honor. If I fall in the water, I'm going to come back up with a smile on my face and say, that wasn't the plan, but praise God, I'm here. I'm going to get back up. I say amen, and I finish the prayer, and all of a sudden, I was still shaking. My heart was still pounding, but that fear and anxiety had flipped into excitement and anticipation. And I ran that course, ended up getting the fastest time of the night, winning that round of competition, going on to be a national finalist and the rookie of the year my first season, and then national finalist six years in a row. And it has been just such a God thing. Wow. Such a God thing, putting my life in his hands.
That's awesome. So it just kind of amazing how God opens doors.
Yeah.
You never were really selected, but the hair.
Yeah. The hair.
Once again, the hair. That's what people say about me all the time, too. It's the hair. Anyhow. Well, Daniel, on your website, you have your mission statement that I think you put together close to a decade ago, or maybe around in there. And it says this: to exemplify a life of loving God, loving people, and impacting the world in which I live. And part of that mission statement, as you go down and talk about it, is not only to live that out for yourself, but to help other people find that. So for you, as you're talking to other people, what does it mean to help people, you know, kind of sell out to Jesus to where, regardless of where God's placed them, the circumstances, the career, there is a purpose and a focal point in their life?
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you help
with
that?
No, I mean, the Bible says that God created us in his own image, in his likeness.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we were created for his good pleasure. So the purpose of our lives really is to know God, to be known by God, to love God, and to love people. That's what Jesus said. He said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. Mm. And so for me, I believe that God has a plan for every single one of us. But we have free will. God gave us the choice to choose. And I tell people the sooner that we can choose God and put our life in his hands and say, okay, God, you've made me. These are my gifts, my talents, my abilities, my flaws and my failures. I'm going to put those in your hands, and I'm going to use everything in my life. You know, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to use any gifting, any position that I have, any influence that you've given me to bless you, to honor you. And God will use people in any area of society. You don't have to be a ninja warrior on TV. You can go into the arts and the entertainment industry. You can go in the health and fitness. You can go in the science industry, education. There's so business. There's so many places that God can use you that aren't just within the four walls of the church. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus said, to go out and
Amen.
Make disciples. And so I tell people, you know, take an inventory of the giftings that you've been given, like
yeah.
your natural talents, your natural abilities. It doesn't matter your age, and it doesn't matter what your current, you know, job standing is. Like, you can have hobbies that you use for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You can, you know, you have influence. Every single person has influence, whether you've got millions of followers on social media, or it's just your immediate family, or your coworkers, or your friends, your peers. We all have people that are looking to our lives. And Jesus gave that story about the parable of the talents. We've all been given things to steward. And as we steward our walk with God, as we steward, you know, pointing people to him in all that we do, God gives us more eyes to see as we let our light shine before others. So look at your lives, look at the ways that God has blessed you and the areas that you can use to honor God. And it's incredible that the doors of opportunity that God will open, the things that he'll do. Find a community of people to stay grounded in.
Yes.
One of the sayings at my church is that when you find your family, you find your destiny. Because for me, I would not even be on American Ninja Warrior if it weren't for me being in a church, then going to a Bible school, giving my life to the Lord, and then a friend at my Bible school telling me about this job at a ninja gym.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I've searched after God, he has opened doors. He has put the relationships and the connections in place. And so it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're at. God can move and change and put you in the right position, Amen. Connect you to the right people. And our job is just to love him, to bless the world around us, and to stay in the, like, get in the word and understand all that there is to this thing called Christianity, to walking with God.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people can complicate it. You know, we think about all of our gifts and talents and our careers and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are really avenues for the overflow. If we're going to live life on purpose for a purpose, we have to offer ourselves to him, and he becomes our only purpose. Mm-hmm. And when we get that clarity, you have so clear, that everything else flows from that.
Yeah. Everything that I do in life is a byproduct of chasing after the heart of God, of keeping my relationship with God, my relationship with Jesus at the forefront, front and center of my life. And people say, oh, you're a great ninja, you're an incredible athlete, you're driven, you've got a great work ethic. All of those things come because I've spent time with God, because I've studied the word, and I see that, you know, walking with God, you know, we have access to these fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as we have time with God every day, like any relationship, so what that looks like for me, practically speaking, is I wake up each day and I say, okay, God, I love you. I bless you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the miracle that I breathe naturally on my own. It's incredible. I say, God, here's my plans for the day. I've got this, that, and the other. But if you've got anything else on your heart, anything else that you've got in store for my day, God, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. I want your will done, your kingdom come in my life. And so practically speaking, I spend time in the word. I spend time listening to worship music. I spend time at my church or online listening to podcasts or watching videos. Things that develop me spiritually in order to do what I feel like God has called me to do. Mm-hmm. And everything I do in life is a byproduct of searching after the Lord, chasing after the heart of Jesus.
That's good. Good. Well, thanks, Daniel. So part two of your mission statement also talks, and I love the fact that we wake up in the morning and we invite Jesus into our life for his plans for us. In one of our other services, and one of my favorite verses as well, is Jeremiah 29, where he talks about, I know I have the plans for you. And I think such a beautiful both sides of the thing. I get up and you get up and we think about Jesus. What do you have for me today? Then I realize that God's already been thinking about me and he's already got plans for me. And so it's as we submit ourselves to God, he just reveals purposes for us as we walk with him each and every day. Now, part of that is, as well, you know, obviously you're a physical person and you work out.
I try.
You try. And you keep trying. And, you know, it's January 10th today. So right now, according to all statistics, about half of our people have missed on some of their health and fitness goals for the year. And part of your, it's okay to laugh and chuckle because we all do it, but part of your mission is to help others in fitness and in nutrition. And you're not, Paul talks about that the our bodies and this kind of being in shape, it profits some to us, a little, he says, but this ever-growing purpose we can have in Jesus and growing in him is something we should never stop. But our own bodies help in that. So how do you help people with that too? What kinds of just quick advice do you give for that this year?
Yeah, I mean, we have one body So we need to learn to take care of it, right? And for me, my body, I mean, the Bible talks about our bodies being temples for the Holy Spirit, temples for the Lord. So I want to take care of that. Yeah. And, you know, as a Christian who's just sold out, I told God I would go anywhere and do anything. My job is to prepare my body physically to be able to do anything that God calls me to do or asks of me to do, whether that's traveling or working physically, whatever it is, I want to be capable and ready to do it. Now, the best way to do that is to remember that our bodies, by God's intentional design, are the most incredible machines on this planet. But like any great machine, it takes fuel in order to run, right? Mm. And so as an athlete with physical fitness goals and needs that I'm reaching to attain, I've discovered that putting the best type of fuel in my body gets the best type of results out of it, you know, right? You put the best type of fuel in a machine, it works the way it's supposed to. So for me, I mean, that's whole foods, real foods, proteins, you know, lots of water, juices, things like that, orange juice, apple juice, I love it. And as I put the best type of foods into my body, three things happen for me as an athlete. One, I feel like working out, which is great. I have the energy. Two, when I work out, I have the energy to go the extra mile, the distance. And three, when I'm done working out, my body recovers faster, which as a professional athlete on the show is kind of a big deal. I need that. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, if I put not the best type of fuel in my body, too much sugar, too many carbs, fast food, things like that, three things happen for me as an athlete. One, I don't feel like working out or exercising. I feel sluggish and slow. Two, when I do drag myself to the gym, I don't have the energy to work out or to finish my workout. And three, when I'm done working out, it takes a lot longer for my body to recover because it doesn't have the fuel necessary. So I tell people the best thing you can do is think about the fuel that you're putting in your body, and is this beneficial? Is this going to benefit me, or is it going to do more harm than good? And make actual realistic goals for yourself. Like, I'm going to walk X amount of minutes or hours a day. I'm going to go for a jog. I'm going to do this many times a week. I love scheduling things out, and I love, you know, having attainable, realistic goals that I can work up to, especially at the new year when we make things like that. But, you know, do those things and find foods that you like to eat that are good for you. God made so many different foods. Yeah. Find the ones that you like. Find the ones that are good. Eat more of those. I mean, moderation. So I like chocolate, but it's in moderation.
I did notice you didn't mention Heath Bar Blizzards. I'm struggling
suppose
with
in
that.
Moderation.
In moderation. So, but like for all of us, it's not the purpose in and of itself. Your body strong is the purpose to bring glory to God, yeah. Not just to have the strong body that I can show off or whatever. Yeah. Been a long time since I've had to worry about that. But nonetheless, you know, people can make the wrong purpose out of it, the wrong idol, so to speak, out of it. Like, and they're in the gym, but not in the Word. And yeah. you can get out of balance. And so I think the more we can have a balance in life and understand that God can use the purposes of our body for His goodness, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great thing. Well, kind of one more last question and then kind of wrap up here. Daniel, so we have people all along the spectrum when it comes to spiritual journeys. And so, obviously, you and I were grown up, we were raised in the church, and God's been really good to bless us that way. There's other people that have never been in a community. They're tuning in or here with us today. They're not sure about who Jesus is or what He is. And what that could mean for their life. So what would you say to people who are just questioning that and wondering about what does it mean to have that relationship with Jesus? How do I pursue that? What does that all mean?
Yeah. I mean, first off, it'll change your life. It'll change your life completely. And, you know, for those who are interested, those who are asking questions, I would say get connected in a community, get connected with like-minded believers, find a church or you know, at least listen to podcasts or find videos online that talk about it. Because, I mean, you know, the Bible talks about we were created in God's image for His pleasure and to walk with Him, to impact this world that we live in for good. And right now the world's going through a lot of crazy things. And, you know, from the news to social media to things we're hearing from friends, it's like, truth. But the reality is, the truth is in the Word of God. Like, if we believe that God wrote this Bible, then we got to believe what it says, and we got to read it and study it. So if you have questions, I would say open the Bible. Find people that you can talk to. Talk to leaders, pastors, you know, though, like mentors, people that you trust, people that are living a lifestyle that you say, what's different about you? You have joy, you have peace, you have, you know, perspective. You're not freaking out at the current world situation. Like, you still trust in Jesus. Tell me more. So for me, I'm the man that I am today because of the fact that I had great leadership. I asked questions. I made my relationship with God my own. Mm-hmm. I sought out the scriptures. I you know, asked questions to leaders and people like that in my life. And I mean, you know, physically, we grow and mature whether we want to or not. You could sit in a room by yourself and minutes, hours, days, months, years go by and you get older. But spiritually, it has to be intentional. Like, to spiritually mature and grow and to be the men and women of God powerful in this earth that we're supposed to be, that we're called to be, and that Jesus died so that we could be. It takes us actively engaging, actively pursuing the Lord through reading scripture, through staying connected in a church body, and all of those different ways. I mean, you're talking about like the alpha thing, right?
Yeah.
So like getting connected in something like that, saying, I'm hungry, I want to know more.
Yeah.
And what I've discovered is this, like when the world squeezes you, which I don't know about you, but it squeezed me a lot over these last 12, 13 months. When the world squeezes you, what is inside is going to come out. Yes. And if we're full of worry, panic, fear, doubt, insecurities, that's what's going to come out as the world continues to put us through these difficult times. Mm-hmm. But if I'm full of the truth of the Word of God, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. So if I fill myself full of the truth of the Word of God, the promises of God, that He has plans for me, good plans to prosper me and not to harm me, that He heals my infirmities and afflictions, that He is a good, loving Father, that even though, yes, we'll go through difficult times, but God has a plan. When I fill myself full of that and the world squeezes me, Scripture is what comes out. The truth of the Word of God is what comes out of my life. And if we know how to worry, which is just thinking over and over and again about the worst case scenarios. You guys done, unfortunately, I'd hate to admit it, but I've done my fair share of worrying over these last 12 months. If we know how to worry, then we know how to meditate, which meditating on the scripture is just taking a Bible verse that pops out on off the page to us, mm-hmm. that God just highlights for us. It's taking a Bible verse and saying it to ourselves over and over again. This is what God says. This is the truth of the matter. Yes, we live in a broken, fallen world where bad things happen. We make mistakes. Other people make mistakes that affect us. Sometimes we can't trace it back to anything except that there is an enemy, the devil, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But as we search out the scriptures, as we remember and meditate on the promises and the truths of God's word, that will change our lives. That will change our perspective. And one of my favorite life verses that I remind myself every day is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, written by a very wise guy named Solomon. Mm-hmm. He says, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not a little, half, or most, but with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. As soon as I think I know it all, I realize I'm humbled that I don't. But then the verse goes on to say, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. So I said, God, in everything that I do, whether I'm training at the gym, spending time with my family or my friends, or chasing after or endeavoring these other goals and things in my life, I'm gonna acknowledge that You're with me, that You're for me, that through better or worse, thick and thin, You're gonna be alongside the journey with me, and that there's better things ahead. And it's not just for me in my life, but for the world that I live in, to impact, encourage, and inspire everybody who sees my life. And so get in the Word, fill yourself full of the things of God, trust Jesus because He's good. He's coming back sooner than we think. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be good.
Yeah. Throw ourselves on the Lord. What a wonderful thing. So, well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure to have you here today.
And it's been a joy. Thank you for having me.
Been an encouragement to our body. And we are so pleased with how God is using you these days for His honor and glory. I want to close by reading a passage that I started with this morning. It's Jesus talking to the crowd. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. For what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? What a great reminder for us as we leave that We find ourselves, we can look at all of our gifts and talents that God has given us, but we find ourselves in the person of Jesus Christ, who designed us to know him. We're designed to know the Father. And then we lose ourselves in him. And when in doing so, we find what we're meant to be. We find the purposes of our life, and we find how God wants to work in and through us. So I thank you for how you've encouraged us in that today. And I trust that it will be an opportunity for all of us as we leave and go into our communities that we can encourage and strengthen one another. Well, I'm going to pray, but with just one little announcement as we go. If you'd like to just meet Daniel for a moment, you go down this corridor here. He'll be down here. There's a picture area set up there, and you can get a picture with Daniel and hang it on your wall and inspire you to do some push-ups today. And but bring your own camera and bring your own photographer, please. So have someone to click it off for you, and we'll try to get everybody a picture. And we have about till 20 after 12 to do that before we need to move Daniel along. So let's bow together in a word of prayer and get right at that. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through the person of Jesus Christ and desiring to know us so that we can live life on purpose for a purpose. And we'll give you praise for that with our whole bodies and minds and hearts. And so I pray that you would encourage and strengthen us in this way today. Lord, I thank you for Daniel and his wife. I just pray your special blessing upon him. Lord, you have given them a unique and powerful platform by which to honor and glorify you. Would you keep them close to you all of their days? Would you continue to use him for your honor and glory? We give you praise for him, his wife, and their lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. It's good to have you all here today. Thank Daniel. Amen. God's rich blessing on all of you.